nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So God is the source of the new birth. He's the author of our regeneration. Also remember from last week, the stimulus of the new birth. What was the stimulus for our new birth? What was the motive for our new birth? Mercy. God's mercy. Remember that the term mercy is a feeling of pity and compassion toward the miserable. And as we looked at several passages last week, humans in their natural state have a sin nature and are completely corrupt. We are utterly depraved. We need mercy. Paul calls us in Ephesians 2:1 dead in our trespasses and sins. He also highlights the fact that there's none righteous in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. We read through that passage last week. It's a bit more descriptive that there are none righteous, but that is the point of the passage. We looked at several other passages that emphasize our deceitful hearts, our corrupt minds, and our natural state. Because we are sinful in our natural state, we need mercy, and that is exactly the stimulus, the motive behind our regeneration. God's mercy was behind the new birth. It was the stimulus, as Peter writes, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Aren't you grateful for that? It's because God has caused us to be born again, and it is according to his great mercy, not anything that we have done. That's the root of the new birth. This morning we move on to the reality of the new birth. The reality of the new birth is highlighted in the remainder of verse 3, where Peter writes, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There are three facets to the new birth, the reality of the new birth mentioned by Peter here. There is the portrait of the new birth. We are living again. There is the promise of the new birth. We have a living hope. And there is the pathway to the new birth. We have a living Savior. So first, let us take a look at the portrait of the new birth. We are living again. Peter writes in verse 3, has caused us to be born. We are living again. We have a new birth. We have a new life in Christ. When we think of this portrait of the new birth, we need to understand the expressions used in Scripture, the terms, the definitions of the new birth in Scripture. What expressions of the new birth are used in the Scripture? The term used by Peter here in the Greek is anagenēo, and this term means to cause to be born again, to beget again, to give new birth, or to give new life. This term is only used by Peter. It's used here in verse 3, and it's used a little later on if you look down to verse 23 in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes, for you have been born again, same word, anagenēo, not of seed which is perishable but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. This terminology is very similar to that used by Jesus in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 7, John records the words of Jesus where he uses the term genao. This is an uncompounded form. It's a simple form of a similar term. And he uses an additional word, anōthen. Genao anōthen, meaning born from above. It also is translated from time to time, born again. It's literally born from above. Then in John 3, 5, Jesus uses the same term again with the terms water and spirit. Born from water and the spirit. These all speak of regeneration, a new birth. Then in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Paul uses the Greek polygenesia, which is translated from Greek regeneration. It's translated regeneration, but it's actually a compound word. Polyn meaning again, and genesis meaning birth. Thus, it also means what? New birth or born again. James in James 1:18 uses a more simple term, apophuo, meaning to give birth to or bring forth. the exercise of His will, He brought us. Whose will? God's will. The Father's will. In James 1:17, James mentions God as the Father of life. And then he moves on in verse 18, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth. Our new birth, our regeneration, is because of the will and act of God. Regeneration also involves the work of the Spirit. Listen to Christ's words in John 3:5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, whom he will give the gift of faith, which is the fruit of regeneration, not the cause of it. We tend to get that backwards and think that our faith is what causes us to be reborn, unless we are born of the Spirit. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, we cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it. Regeneration is what provokes and plants faith. living again is a living hope. This term hope speaks of a confident expectation. It's not, oh, I hope this works. It's confident. We have a living hope. And certainly, hope is a repeated word. He nails it. Why does he need to tell his readers that they have a living hope? What are they going through? Remember the context of this letter? Believers in Christ are being scattered throughout Asia Minor because Nero accused Christians of burning Rome, and so there is this persecution of Christians welling up, and it's escalating, and they are suffering this persecution, and they will be suffering more persecution, and so Peter is encouraging them, hope, 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 hope. We have a living hope. In 1 Peter 1:13, he writes, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Later on in chapter 1, verse 21, Peter writes, who through him are believers in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Then in 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. This confident expectation, this hope, is described by Peter in verse 3 as a living hope. The term living, da'o, means to live or draw life from, and it speaks of a very active life. In other words, it's not a dead hope. It is a living hope. The unbelieving world only knows of dying hope. If you have not been born again, you have a dying hope. Job 8:13 says, so are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the godless will perish. For unbelievers, their hope is not a living hope. It will die. It will perish. It is a dead hope. Proverbs 10:28 also states, the hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. Reminding his readers of their former life without Christ, Paul writes in Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. I think the hope for believers is the opposite. We have a living hope. We have an undying hope. We have a secure hope. Paul tells us in Romans 5:5 that our hope does not disappoint. Paul refers to believers' hope in Titus 2:13 as a blessed hope. The author of Hebrews refers to it as an anchor and a sure and steadfast hope. The New Testament use of the term hope usually speaks of a future living hope. When Paul writes to the believers in Titus 2:13 and says that they have a blessed hope, he is looking forward to the rapture of the church. He says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. See, our hope is always focused on the future. We have a blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when will we see him? Revelation of Jesus Christ is referring to the second coming of Christ and all the events that surround that second coming, beginning with the rapture. This is our future in Christ. Of course, we've already examined the words of Jesus in John 3, in which one must be born again to what? See or enter the kingdom of God. When we think of the kingdom of God, we think of that millennial reign of certainly comfort and encourage the readers of this letter. Not only does Peter provide a portrait of the new birth and speak of the promise of the new birth, a third notice, he mentions the pathway to the new birth. So Peter continues in verse 3 with the phrase, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the resurrection. This is a second prepositional phrase, and it still also modifies the phrase has caused us to be born again. He has caused us to be born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our new birth is a result of what? The resurrection. Whose resurrection? Christ's resurrection. Is that not what the foundation of Christianity has been built on, is the resurrection of Christ? Christ rose from the dead on a Sunday. That's why we worship on a Sunday, right? This is the Lord's Day. Because we're remembering the resurrection of Christ. The preposition via means through, by, because of, or on account of. It's translated here through. And it indicates the means by which we receive the new birth. God causes us to be born again through the resurrection of Christ. Our new birth, our regeneration, is grounded in the reality of Christ's resurrection. And certainly Peter had a first-hand knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, did he not? Think about what the New Testament tells us. Peter was one of the first ones to the empty tomb. Then sometime after that, he had a personal private interview with the risen Christ. Then he was in the upper room when Jesus appeared to the disciples without Thomas. And he was still in the upper room when Jesus appeared to the disciples with Thomas. He was fishing on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus appeared yet again, and he was on the Mount of Olives when Jesus ascended into heaven. Did Peter witness the resurrection of Christ? And the answer is, was Peter familiar with the resurrection of Christ? Resurrection that enabled Peter to face death without fear. Death is not the end for the Christian. The resurrection of Christ not only secures our new birth, but we also receive the resurrection body. Those that God has caused to be born again will be raised. Because he rose, we too will be raised like him. Bodies. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first Without Christ, there is no life. Without Christ, there is no blessing. Without Christ, there is no life. If you're here this morning and have now, if you're here this morning and you've done that and you've embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, what should your response be? If you're here and you've embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be motivated to offer up praise, honor, and glory to our great God. Because of Christ, we have a living hope. Because of Christ, we have new life. Because of Christ, we have a blessed hope. Because of Christ,